Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Thursday afternoon, September 25th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Midwest fave Culver's announces the return of its Kurder Burger. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, jobless claims drop. The GDP is revised higher and home sales stall. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, thank you for joining us today. The economy growing at a 3.8% annualized rate in the second quarter. That is significantly stronger than the initial estimate. What does this mean as far as the narratives are concerned about a weakening economy?
The economy looks pretty solid, at least in the first half of 2025. The revision came primarily from an upward revision to consumer spending, which is key to the overall economic picture. And so consumers look to be in pretty good shape. The labor market, although job growth is slowing, is still decent. And that suggests that the economy should continue to expand through the rest of 2025 and into 2026.
And jobless claims, which had been ticking up in some cases in some weeks to levels we had not seen since 2021, continue to tumble. 218,000 new applications for unemployment benefits. That's well below estimates. So even though there has been a great deal of discussion about weakness in the labor market and definite deceleration in the labor market, there is no deterioration as of yet.
That's right. What we're seeing is that hiring has slowed, but that layoffs remain very low right now. Workers just aren't losing their jobs in the current environment. And as long as that remains the case, we should continue to see at least modest job growth and a low unemployment rate.
Now, yesterday we were talking about sales of new homes higher than expected because of relief in mortgage rates. Today, we have the report of existing home sales stalling in August because of higher mortgage rates. So how do you make heads or tails out of these two very different numbers, and albeit two very different categories?
I think what we're seeing is a very soft housing market. Even though we've seen mortgage rates come down over the past few months, they still remain very high, certainly much higher than they were a few years ago. We see big price increases for both new and existing homes. And so affordability is a real problem. We're seeing very weak home sales, and we're probably not going to get much relief until we start to see some lower mortgage rates, and that's not going to be the case until 2026.
The economy in the second quarter, better than initially expected or anticipated, and consumer spending is a big reason why. The job market, not great, but also not terrible, to quote the movie Chernobyl. And what does that mean for the Fed when they talk about additional rate cuts in 2025?
It's going to depend a lot on what the inflation data look like. We get an inflation report tomorrow. If we start to see that inflation is picking up, if it's not just in goods, but it's also occurring in services, so perhaps not due just to tariffs, then the Fed might decide not to cut rates. On the other hand, if we see job growth that is softening further, if we see the unemployment rate tick up, then the Fed may decide to cut rates to support the labor market. So it depends on that balance between what's happening with inflation versus what's happening with the job market.
Gus Fauché, chief economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Coming up, a burger chain is bringing back a cheese lover's dream.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Curder Burger, a fan favorite at Culver's, is coming back next week, but for a limited time. Joining us to talk about how fast food specialty offerings help drive foot traffic and boost sales is Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the Restaurant Coach in Chicago. Izzy, thank you for joining us today. And there must be some math, Izzy, when it comes to determining what kind of a pop you're going to get out of a specialty item on your menu, whether it's the Curder Burger or the McRib or some other type of one-off. You got to figure out, you know, does the cost of materials, will that be offset by people coming in and then buying other things?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the McRib comparison is a great one. So I don't think it's about looking at, you know, product or bringing it back and the cost to bring it back. It's, you know, the idea of, hey, we took a very popular item away. We're going to introduce it once a year. And boy, is it going to be spectacular. It's going to more than make up for the cost of bringing it back.
And then when we talk about these types of specialty items, I mean, this thing began, the Curder Burger at Culver's. It was an April Fool's joke starting in 2021 and then became an annual event after that. It was just so popular the first time around. And when determining the success of a specialty item such as this, obviously you have to go on the dollars and cents, but you also have to factor in the publicity. The social media traffic, the fact that you and I are talking about that, and how, as a business, how can you quantify that?
Well, a lot of times, you know, companies realize they put something on the menu, it starts off pretty well. Curder Burger, you know, grew from that April Fool's kind of a joke to, you know, people really loved it. And there, you know, once something's on the menu for, you know, 6 months or a year, the excitement kind of dissipates and it just becomes another item. So when they take it off, boom, that creates a whole new sense of outrage. Oh my God, they took the Curder Burger off, or they stopped selling the McRib. They wait a year, and when they put it back on, that excitement's there. And it brings in, you know, that Curder Burger may only represent, you know, 10% of the sales over that period of a month. But if a family of four comes in, only one of them is going to get the Curder Burger. The others are going to get their favorite items plus the custard. So the sales are going to be spectacular because while it seems like they're just bringing back this one item, they're bringing back families to Culver's during this period of time.
If you are in the fast food space or quick service restaurant space and you have to come up with new items, are you constantly under pressure to come up with menu items that A, are both good, B, cost effective, and C, and this is probably the most important part of all, they get attention. They break through the media noise. And I'm just thinking back to like nearly 20 years ago, I was on the radio when the Baconator came out, and I thought that was going to be a one-off by Wendy's. And now it's a stalwart on their menu. It's just, it's tried and true, and it's been there forever.
Right, and it's done very well. But imagine if they took that off for a year and then reintroduced it. So taking it off the menu makes it exciting and gets everybody talking, and then putting it back on. But that has become, as you say, a staple, and creating new menu items in the fast food space is not always easy. There's a lot of competition out there, but when, you know, they announce something and it hits, they've really created something exciting for the long-term future.
I would imagine social media is both a help and a hindrance for trying to launch new or specialty menu items, because on the one hand, you can get a lot of organic social media reach if you do have a hit. But at the same time, menu innovation, you have to shoot it through the prism of how is this going to look on Instagram and will people talk about it on TikTok?
Well, you know, that is interesting, especially when we look at your, you know, Baconator example, because 30 years ago, we didn't have social media to the extent that we have it now. And that Baconator may not have been as popular with naysayers coming out immediately
talking about the calories or, you know, the fat content and all those different things, you know, giving the company a hard time on both sides. So in today's world, it is hard to please everybody. And if the company thinks they have something, they need to stick with it, push it, and make it a classic.
Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the Restaurant Coach in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next, Starbucks is making some significant moves in its turnaround effort.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Starbucks is launching a major restructuring, closing a large number of cafes and announcing a second round of layoffs at its headquarters. We welcome in Ben Berkowitz, managing editor of business and markets at Ask Axios in New York. Ben, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. And what is the end game of this Starbucks turnaround? What are they trying to fix?
They're really trying to get folks back in stores, and that's the bottom line. Their same-store sales have been declining. Foot traffic's been down. So the overarching goal here is to really make the stores more inviting, make them look better, staff them better, and get people buying coffee again.
Now, when it's all said and done, the company hopes to have 18,300 stores, down from 18,734. So there will still be quite a few Starbucks across this country and elsewhere in the world. And when we talk about trying to turn the company around, who has been eating Starbucks lunch recently, to use a tortured metaphor?
It's a great question, and it's a bit of a mix of things. It's not even necessarily that they've been losing traffic to other competitors. It's been people, particularly given the current economy, just not going or going less frequently, trading down, trading out. And what they have been trying to do is focusing on making the experience warmer, renovating the stores, putting more people in the stores for more hours, trying to get people in and out faster. The theory being that if the experience is faster and easier and more inviting, folks will be more inclined to pay that $4 or $5, $7, whatever it is, for their favorite drink.
Does this also mean that Starbucks may be moving away from the idea of being a third space for a lot of people that used to be? You go to Starbucks, you can get some work done. If you were working from home, you could study with friends if you were in school. Will they continue to encourage that, or they just want you to get in, get your coffee, and get out?
No, very much so. That's actually a big part of their renovations. In fact, one of the things they said this morning was that the stores that they're closing are the ones that don't lend themselves to renovation. They're really focusing on making their spaces more inviting, friendlier. This has come and gone over the years with Starbucks, as you and your audience know as well, but they're definitely now in that mode of come in, stay a while, have a drink, have a snack maybe, and linger. And that's really kind of where the business is going right now.
And then layoffs in corporate headquarters as well. Is this an instance in which the very large company is trying to see more efficiency when it comes to leveraging AI?
That's absolutely part of the mix. They didn't say that specifically, but as you can imagine, lots of big companies are looking at that, looking at those opportunities. One of the things they've been doing, and they've been talking more about, they call it partner hours, which is to say the baristas you see in stores on the green aprons, trying to spend more on staffing there and more on salaries there, and so then cutting back at the corporate headquarters as a result.
Ben Berkowitz, managing editor of business and markets at Axios in New York, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, AI foreign language headsets are a game changer for global communication.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. Markets are lower once again today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website horizoninvestment.com, based in Hammond, Indiana. Chuck, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. And the S&P 500 under pressure once again, and it seems like some AI doubts are to blame.
Well, I think that's true. There is some doubts creeping into the AI story. You've seen companies like ASML, which makes products to manufacture kind of the high-end chips. Their business seems to be slowing a bit, and some other kind of cracks emerging. I also think, though, that to me, the biggest problem the market's facing right now is kind of the interest rate question. It seemed after the Fed lowered rates by a quarter point that it was almost a fait accompli that they would reduce it two more times this year. But that seems to be pivoting a little bit. You had Chairman Powell earlier this week kind of say, I'm not so sure. And now you're seeing various Fed governors divided on that issue. And I think that's giving investors pause as to maybe there aren't going to be two more cuts in rates, and I think you're seeing that played out a little bit here in the market's performance.
On the interest rate question, when we talk about the dual mandate to both maintain full employment and keep inflation low, both sides of that coin are under pressure, and in the lack of a compelling direction one way or the other, it just seems like maybe the Feds can't do anything right now, like because the inflation is still high and the job market is not bad enough to necessitate riding to the rescue.
Well, that may be the case, and that's kind of the rhetoric that we've been hearing here in the last 48 hours, again, from Powell and from some of the Fed governors. And I think that is what's giving pause to investors as to, are we going to see further rate cuts? The other issue that is that, you know, you had, you know, GDP revised upward pretty strongly today for the second quarter. So, you know, you have an economy, at least in the second quarter, that was growing 3.8%, close to 4%, you know, is that the type of environment, again, that you typically see rate cuts in? That answer is no. And it's, so the market's trying to weigh that. And you're seeing that play down in some of the more interest rate sensitive areas of the market, especially small cap stocks, for example, which the Russell 2000 is down almost a full percent today. And that tends to be pretty sensitive to interest rates.
And the other remarkable thing about the GDP being revised upward north of 3% is that economic activity took place even with a million jobs that didn't exist, or nearly a million jobs that didn't exist, because those numbers came, that GDP figure was created before the job revision came in.
Yes, and that's a good point. And I think that what it does do is kind of make you, and this is, I think, another thing that's adding to uncertainty, is, you know, how accurate are the numbers that we're getting on things like GDP, on things like jobs? And, you know, Wall Street's trying to weigh those things, and perhaps, you know, maybe if we're relying on these numbers and the Fed's relying on these numbers, they probably are looking at them with a little bit of a jaundiced eye right now, and that adds to the uncertainty, and investors don't like uncertainty.
Speaking of numbers, we get the PCE figure tomorrow, the Personal Consumption Expenditure Index, and that is the Fed's preferred inflation gauge. And what can we expect? What's the consensus for tomorrow morning?
Well, I think the consensus is it'll probably be around the expectation. But, you know, I think a lot of people are looking at some of these significant revisions that we've seen in jobs and significant revisions we've seen in GDP. And they're, you know, they're wondering, is the consensus really a consensus that's going to hold up 30 days from now if there's, you know, revisions that come out to that number. So, you know, that the data dependency that the Fed has shown and has espoused that they've shown becomes a bit problematic at a time when you're seeing extreme variability in these numbers coming out and whether the numbers really are telling the story.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the website horizoninvestment.com in Hammond. Thank you for joining us today. Technology Thursday coming up next.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday. Artificial intelligence is bringing real-world tech solutions to life, from real-time translation headsets to smarter medical imaging for injuries. And experts say we're just starting to tap in to its long-term potential. We welcome in Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And let's start talking about some of the gee whiz aspects of AI. I feel like a lot of the AI discussions as of late is that it can make a new and improved, you know, the best spreadsheet you've ever had in your life. It can just make your office life that much more simple and less labor intensive. But let's get to the science fiction and science fact portion of AI, starting with the AI-powered foreign language headset, the Star Trek Universal Translator. It's here today in the 21st century.
It's true. And it's cheaper than, you know, buying some sort of enterprise model or something in the store. The AirPods Pro, which is obviously from Apple, has just been updated, a new version of it. It came out this past Friday. And it is pretty magical. It is very Star Trek. Basically, what happens is you have to make sure you're updated to the latest OS in your iPhone, iOS 26, and you have to activate an app called Apple Intelligence. And that's it. So basically, when you open the Translate app that iPhones have on their phone, on your phone, and you download whatever languages you want to translate, someone speaks to you, the audio is interpreted instantly, and then translated for you. It records a transcript for later, you know, reference if you want, but it speaks into your ear in English after having heard currently Spanish, French, German, Portuguese, and English. Those are the five current languages. There are many more coming. So in a nutshell, you put in the AirPods Pro, someone speaks to you in another language in one of those, at this point, one of those four foreign languages and plus English, and it will translate instantly. So that's a real world solution to, you know, a lot of folks are talking to folks with other, especially if they travel for business and they want to get around. This is instantaneous and it's pretty miraculous.
And then speaking of other ways in which AI can really help us, this is in the doctor's office, and AI is now speeding up the process of diagnosing, you know, whether or not something is merely a bump or it could be a broken bone.
That's right. And it extends, by the way, to dentistry, too. So any time a radiologist is looking, my stepfather was a pediatric radiologist. I talked to him for hours about this kind of thing. And he basically said, and he's incredibly experienced, 40 years of experience. And yet, inevitably, there are patterns within bone structure that are overlooked by either a tired radiologist or someone looking at lots of images. And of course, many of those images are extremely tiny. The time-consuming task of identifying patterns that human beings have to go through is now supplanted when AI does the analysis, initial analysis. It's not that they've replaced radiologists, but AI, because it has a large language model of images in this case that it can pull from, it can identify subtle abnormalities by having already looked at millions and millions and millions of images. The result is that the AI can often, in fact, some cases, is more accurate in its analysis of an image, an X-ray, than the radiologist, him or herself. Result: the radiologist can say, okay, point AI at the image and have the AI model come back with probable or possible diagnoses, and then the radiologist can double check. It saves so much time, and again, this is not just time saving, it is actually more accurate.
Now, the last item that we can talk about, and this is something we've discussed before on the program, and that is the AI-powered shopping cart that can actually check out the stuff as you're shopping for it.
That's right. And so we've gone from you know, AI translation in real time to you know, radiology analysis to I'm going to go pick up some groceries. So we're descending quickly into actually what we all need. In this case, you know, ShopRite,
has integrated this smart AI-driven technology into its stores, in about four or five stores. And basically what happens is there are tools attached to the, scanners basically attached to the shopping cart that analyze, first of all, they can track spending. You can find savings in the store that you would not have been aware of. Check out directly from the cart using a saved payment method if you have it. And all of that adds up to, okay, I now get the best price. I now know because I'm guided by AI where exactly this is in the store. And finally, I can check out without having to be in a line. So net, AI and Instacart, it's powered by AI, and they're called Caper Carts, can actually help the shopping experience be pretty dramatically improved just by, putting the stuff in the cart.
Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you for joining us today.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
There's an awful lot of optimism surrounding the stock market as of late, but investors should be wary when it seems like almost everyone else on Wall Street is bullish. Joining us with a contrarian view of financial markets is Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com. Based in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like the rule for equities, at least as far as 2025 is concerned, it's almost like the opposite of the law of gravity. What goes up must continue going up. This market is powering through everything the economy is throwing at it, crippling tariffs, other outside forces, but the market continues to go up. And now you're starting to get some people wondering, like, maybe we're ahead of our skis here. So what's your take?
Well, I would agree with the analogy you used there. I think we've gotten way too far ahead of our skis. The problem is that when you get to a point in a market rally like this, all the skeptics have thrown in the towel, and so there's not really a lot of sideline money out there that could then be put into the market and propel the market even higher. Now, I've been saying something similar to this, as you probably remember, for the last several months, and eventually I'll be right, but it's not a pinpoint accuracy in terms of saying when the end will come, but we know how this story will end whenever it does end, and it won't look very pretty. And one of the reasons it won't look pretty is that when you have such stubbornly held bullishness, as we're now seeing, everyone says, oh, every time there's a dip is a time to buy, it means that you'll have to have that much bigger of a drop to convince people that there really is risk out there.
And then when it comes to when we talk about how when the market goes down, it seems like 12-year-olds now know buy the dip thanks to various financial social media applications and a lot of these financial terms just making their way into the general public at large. Does that change investor behavior now that there are more participants in the market, say, compared to 20 or 30 years ago?
Well, absolutely. I mean, social media definitely is making it much more of a widespread market rally in the sense that more and more people are getting involved. And people now think it's easy. I mean, you'll even see stuff on social media saying that people like Warren Buffett are all washed up. It's really easy to make money in the market. We know that's not true, but that's kind of the sentiment that you will see as you hear, as you get closer and closer to a market top, because eventually everyone is going to be drawn in, and then like sheep shorn, at the end of the season, that's going to happen to lots and lots of investors.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com based in Washington. Thank you for joining us today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.